Hey, the takeaway this week from WFAE 90.7 in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this week, the United States Department of Justice sued the state of North Carolina over that state's new voting law, which requires voters to use special government IDs, cuts back on early voting, and eliminates same-day voter registration. The Justice Department says the law is discriminatory. It has a disproportionate impact, according to the DOJ, on the poor, elderly, and minority citizens. Back in June, you'll recall, the Supreme Court invalidated a key provision of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, making certain places more free to enact changes in voting procedures without federal pre-clearance approval. Joining me now is Michael Tomczyk, a reporter for WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Kareem Creighton, a professor of law at the University of North Carolina Law School. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And Michael, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with you, Michael. Is this law an example, as we've seen in other states, of a kind of pent-up demand in certain places to enact changes in voting laws that the Supreme Court suddenly opened the floodgates to and boom, suddenly this is in place?
In our state, the timeline certainly makes it seem like that's the case. So the North Carolina House originally passed a bill that was really – it was only 15 pages and focused on just photo ID. That was back in late April. The Senate did nothing with it until after the Supreme Court decision. Then about a month after the Supreme Court decision, all of a sudden the Senate introduces a substitute that is nearly 50 pages long, includes all of these things that the Justice Department has filed suit against, and was really a much larger – just kind of total take on voting as opposed to this concentrated change that was before the Supreme Court decision.
So if you're a voter in North Carolina, all of a sudden you have to consider a bunch of things that you never did before. Give me a sense of that.
One of the things that will impact the most people would be the cuts to early voting. So the midterm elections in 2014, you have a maximum of 10 days of early voting as opposed to 17 in the last presidential election. To give you some perspective, about a fifth of all North Carolina voters who cast ballots in the last presidential election voted during that first week of early voting. Mm. So the Republicans behind the bill say local boards of elections still have to offer the same total hours of early voting, but you've got seven fewer days to work with. So the Republican argument is that this will still, we think this may shorten lines, but clearly the Department of Justice disagrees.
And before we go to Professor Creighton here on this and the question of where this lawsuit goes, it's always the case that the political discourse on the surface about this is we're just trying to reform voting and make things easier, blah, 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 blah. And of course, that's the case. Yes. But there's a political backstory here. What is it in North Carolina?
Well, the pent-up demand is part of it. I mean, in North Carolina, Republicans are in power. We've got a Republican in charge of the governor's mansion and the state legislature for the first time in more than 100 years. And a lot of the policies that our state legislature has passed over the past year are hallmark Republican policies. It's fundamental things that these guys and girls run on, from photo ID on. What's interesting about this voting bill, no one ran on let's cut early voting. Let's throw out ballots that are accidentally cast at the wrong precinct.
Early voters, Democrats? Tardy voters, Republicans? Is that how it works?
Well, I mean, if you look at the numbers, actually, in the last presidential election, Republicans made gains in early voting in North Carolina. So it's actually.
Professor Creighton, let's talk about the lawsuit. The preclearance issue under the Voting Rights Act until the Supreme Court decision put the burden of proof on districts to show that their laws weren't having an impact on abridging voting rights among certain constituencies. That's reversed now, right?
Well, it effectively has been rendered inert by the Supreme Court's invalidation of the formula used to direct this sort of rule that you just described to the states.
And the Department of Justice really has a hard slope to climb here.
Well, they have the typical slope that any plaintiff has to bring to court by proving that the likely effect of the plan is one that has basically a disparate impact on minority groups. And based on the information that the state itself developed in the course of adopting the plan, there definitely is some evidence that African Americans in North Carolina are more likely to be affected by this rule than other members of the North Carolina electorate. And the question is, how much is enough and whether or not the state has offered alternatives to get around some of these inherent disparities?
Does DOJ have to argue? And of course, it's up to them what to argue, not up to us necessarily. But is it sufficient for DOJ to argue there are lots of elderly people and African Americans who don't have IDs, so therefore this is discriminatory? Or do they also have to say, and it would be really hard for them to get IDs, and here's why?
Right. And that actually, the second part that you mentioned really is the rub. If you look at instances where DOJ in other contexts under Section 5 really has challenged the use of these rules, the real question that the courts sort of fall on is, are there alternatives to resolve some of these disparities that occur? And of course, the state in all of these cases says, well, yeah, of course, we've done enough. And that's really going to be the rub. Is it enough to say that there are alternative, for example, for voter ID requirements, are there alternative methods of showing that you are who you claim to be, or maybe free methods of obtaining some of the documents that cost money that allow people who tend not to have those documents to get them easily?
Will there be alternatives in North Carolina? Is there any precedent for those alternatives being sufficient?
Well, you have to take into account both, I think, the level of severity in the requirement. And North Carolina clearly is at the top of the list in terms of the severe limitations. Even state-held university IDs that are photo IDs don't count under their standard. Mm. And so you balance that against the different ways in which maybe people who don't have it can get the ID. And again, we don't really have a great guide, but we do have in other circumstances less severe voter ID requirements in different contexts being seen as maybe not
right.
Commensurate with the alternatives available.
Professor Creighton, thanks so much.
Sure. Happy to be with you.
Graham Creighton is professor of law at the University of North Carolina Law School. Michael Tomczyk, before we go, is this lawsuit popular, unpopular in North Carolina, federal government meddling?
I think it falls down on party lines. Republicans say it's a waste of taxpayer money. The Democrats say this is overdue and this is necessary.
The Department of Justice suing North Carolina over the state's new voting law with lots of restrictions, including special government IDs. Michael Tomczyk is a reporter for WFAE right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the takeaway is. Michael, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.